we're doing the Drashot Aran. We're up to page Chaftet in the Shalem edition. Page Ein Chet in the Mosadar of Cook edition. What page by you?
Again, Mem Gimel.
And page Mem Gimel in the Mishor edition. The Ran had been discussing, why do prophets make signs? Why do they have to do a sign to lock in their prophecy? And the prophet said, and the Ran had said, that when a prophet gives a prophecy for good, God doesn't turn back on that prophecy, simply because otherwise you'd have no way of verifying whether the prophet is telling the truth or not. So let's say you have a prophecy that is not given over to others. So in that situation, the prophet isn't being tested based on the prophecy. And then technically, if the people are no longer deserving of the good prophecy, there's no reason God shouldn't turn back on it. The whole reason God doesn't turn back on a prophecy for good is simply because if God did, there'd be no way of verifying who's a true prophet or not. But if this prophet received prophecy about something good that would happen, and he was not commanded to give it over, it was a personal prophecy, like the prophecies that preceded Moshe Rabbeinu, for example. So then, technically, if the person no longer merited that good prophecy, there'd be no reason for God not to turn back on that good prophecy. A good prophecy is contingent on a person living up to his end of the deal. But, says the Ran, if the prophecy is locked in with an action, so then it's as though the prophecy started happening. So then, it's as though we've locked in the prophecy, even for good, that it would happen, or also for bad. That's a way of locking in that the prophecy has already started coming to fruition. V'zeh misil sfekot rabot, says the Ran. And this removes all kinds of questions. Ki Yitzchak berech et Yaakov ve'amar lo, for Yitzchak blessed Yaakov and said to him, Hevei gevir le'achecha. You should be ruler over your brother. V'zeh yehud en inyano sheitkeim b'achrit hayamim kasher yeyeh bet Yaakov le'esh. And this, that Yitzchak blesses him and says, you should rule over Esav. He's not talking about what's going to happen at the end of time, what's described in the Navi Ovadia, that the house of Yaakov will be a fire and it will consume Esav. Because then Yaakov will consume and destroy Esav. That's not called ruling over him, that's destroying him. You rule over someone, he's your subject. Ki kasha yichle Esav kvar nasa chofshi. Because when Esav is released, so then obviously Yaakov is not subservient to him. En manosin ken sheitkeim ze hayud leEsav ela be'od b'chayim chayito. Undoubtedly, we have no other way to understand Yitzchak's blessing other than that Yitzchak was blessing Yaakov. You should rule over Esav when you're both alive, not when you destroy him. Ve'en ha'ui sheyuvan gam ken sheyeh gvir zman ma. Nor does it make sense to interpret Yitzchak's blessing that there will be a time in history where you will rule over him. That can't be what he meant. Ki ami yitbarech lo yitbarech lemor hayom tiye gvir v'yetor zmancha begalut ushibud lo. He wouldn't bless him and say, yeah, you'll have a period, you'll have your golden era, you'll have 100 years where you'll rule over him, and then you'll have 2 millennium where they'll do pogroms and they'll destroy you and you'll be subservient to him. That can't be what Yitzchak meant in his blessing. So undoubtedly Yitzchak's blessing was about what would be the majority of the time. So Yitzchak blesses Yaakov, you should rule over Esav, and you look at Jewish history and it doesn't match Yitzchak's blessing. How come? Yitzchak's blessing didn't come true. How come we're subservient to Esav all these years? And even if tomorrow God uplifts the horn of David, suddenly Mashiach walks in. Mashiach will signal the end of Esav. And that won't be a fulfillment of the prophecy, as the Ran had said. Correct? Because then it's over. And then it turns out that the majority of the time we were subservient to our brother. Meshuavadim libnei imenu. We were subservient to the son of our mother. V'chol sheken lema shodienu zal ki anachnu hayom begalut edom. certainly according to what we are taught, that at this time we are in the exile that's called Galut Edom, and we have no hope of getting out of this Galut till the Kohen Gadol stands and the temple is rebuilt. And Esav is destroyed, and then we go free and it's over. Esav is finished. But that's not Yitzchak's blessing. So we are in this period called Galut Edom, and the hope we have is when Edom will be wiped out, then we by default will be free men. But whatever happened to the blessing that we should rule Esav? You know, we have short periods in history where that came true. What happened to that? V'lo nishar im ken ela shenomar ki chatoteinu him itu mimenu zman ze hayehud hatov. So we're left with no choice but to say that it is our sins that caused us to lose from the time that this prophecy could have allotted us. Yitzchak blesses Yaakov, you will rule over Esav. For how long? As long as you live up to it. And we didn't live up to it very long. We sinned. So we didn't merit to have that prophecy come true for very long. Now how could it be that Yitzchak gives a prophecy, a prophetic blessing, and that prophecy doesn't come true? He says, you will rule over him. And we didn't. So the Ran says, that's understood based upon the concept we just said. When is it that a prophecy for good must come true completely? That is when you have a prophet who you must listen to. The Torah says, I will send you a prophet. You won't know whether he's telling the truth or not. You will test him. If everything that he says for good will come true completely, you know he is a true prophet, you must listen to him. We didn't have any commandment to listen to Yitzchak. Yitzchak's prophetic blessing wasn't a prophecy like a prophecy being given over to the people. He gave a prophetic blessing. At that moment, there was the potential for us to spend much of world history ruling over Esav. But that prophecy is not a prophecy that was given over to people to test, is Yitzchak a true prophet? And so in that prophecy, you don't have the rule that a prophecy for good doesn't turn back. And that's why Yitzchak's prophecies, they go with the general rule, and the general rule is that a prophecy is, this is what God has planned now, provided that you don't change your behavior. You live up to your end, this is the prophecy of what's going to happen. But that doesn't mean you can do whatever you want and the good thing will happen. Yes, sir.
Can I just ask, what kind of behavior have we been doing? Like, what merit? What caused us to lose this merit to rule over Edom? Like, is it attributed to something serious that we should really be, mourning for? Or is it something that was a very high expectation sort of thing?
Well, Chazal say that Edom took over when there was internal strife, when there was Sinat Chinam. And then we brought Edom in to take over. Two brothers were fighting over who would be king. And one called in the Roman Empire and said, help us settle the dispute, help me become king. And then he made a pact with the Romans. And he brought the Roman soldiers into Israel.
So, does the fact that the prophecy about the exile being fulfilled automatically, at the same time, automatically mean that Yitzchak's prophecy won't come true? Because they're both attributed to the same fact.
He seems to say that way, yes. Okay. That's so how the Ran is learning. Revolutionary, this isn't Rashi's pshat. Rashi understands that Yitzchak's prophecy is about Mashiach, when we take over Esav. The Ran learns when Mashiach comes, Esav's finished. You ain't ruling over him then. Esav is going to be destroyed then completely.
Hey, is that what most people say, that Edom is going to be completely gone? Like,
I don't know what most people say. Most people don't know the Ran. That's one of the reasons we're learning it.
Right.
You guys will know. Okay, says the Ran. He named Cain. So turns out, כל יהוד מיהודי האבות שלו בעל אב איזה פועל דומה אליו מקיים היהוד, any prophecy that the forefathers had that did not have a sign, that they didn't do any action to lock in the prophecy, so then technically the prophecy isn't locked in. It depends on if we live up to our end of the deal. God tells Abraham, I'll bring your children to the land of Israel. Will that happen or not? Maybe it depends on whether we'll live up to our end of the deal. So God says, no, let's make a pact. Let's do an action. Let's begin fulfilling the prophecy. This is the concept that the Ran had said, that when you begin doing an action, so then you're locking in the prophecy. And now we understand the need for that. Because prophecies that were not locked in, they were contingent on our living up to our end of the deal. And when we didn't, such as happened between Yaakov and Esau, so then we didn't get that prophecy. ולזה לא נעשה בדבר העוברים האלה דבר אלא מה שיהיה בלתי אפשר שיקבל שינוי והוא אחיזת יד בעקב. And that's why when came to Yitzchak's prophecy to Yaakov, there was no sign. When was there a sign? With regard to Yaakov holding on to the heel of Esav. שיהיה אפשר שלא יתפוס יעקב מלכות כאתם הפושעים, because that was a sign to lock in the ultimate prophecy that must happen, and that is that Yaakov will ultimately take the throne when the kingdom of Edom is wiped out. And that's the idea of the two fighting in utero. That was a way of locking in the prophecy of what was yet to come between Yaakov and Esav, the ultimate defeat of Esav. That's why it had to occur. Omnam. Should we continue or pause here?
Pause.
Pause here. Okay. We'll take up here next time, Mizrachi.